Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are still praying. Praise the Lord. Can we just go ahead in 2 minutes and begin to pray in the Spirit? Just go ahead in 2 minutes, pray in the Spirit now. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Remanambre canaduria gada shapaya na marota la bradiriele paradosia lada erge de bele kendia gradutile paradosia la bradiria gadaga agagarumele kande ele grande rekele siperia gradicata e manatoranga da shaya e gagasumana tera rigada bolakia le predia le bradusa paria de paradega agaremia natori ligadusie peria gradira manata erge de gialaga Iganam Aminaka Sopiali Pradraga, Eregede Beziele Candusia Gradi Bragadosa, Agaramana Braderiele Cadasi Pradiri Caladobia Le Gradesia, Esisimielepa, Regede Brecandiria Galusiele Candosia Gadashapa, Aremana Porialeta, Eregede Bezialaga, Isebrando Remine Candori Caladiria Gadasata. Ashaparia no pradera, eregedesiele candosa, regana mano praderaga, eregedegia lazu pradera, ele prandere kene mana zombiana cradere kene naragaduda, erebedegeri gadade, regada baro kata shapayada, emnadosiebele candosiele kania no sapa, eregederiga, e graderia mana terigada supayane manando sara de gara. Eregede bilagadu rekele kandere kesia gadota. Eregede bialagadesia. Shapradera gado, pragadera gado, pragadera gadura. Regadara gade gadagile kandekia la kadixatoraga. Egegezupara. Regede beleke niana mo tayana brigado samparia dakaya. Agagaromele periala dosa. Ese piala keriele paradusiele paradesia, eregede belekia nata, ize pradoriele manato braderia ganotiala gadosa, aragade bradera galekradera gada sopaya daga, eregede minate, regada balekia ndosiele kadosia bayana palaga, ma pradu praderia praderia pradagadora, eremeno imperia gadosa, ese pradorie kele kanderia gadasa pradera galoga, eregede gedi gadase, Regede be candaregia naturiaga na payana caradosa, egrede menesia gada, igagare candere gili canderia gada gadia gadaga, egerege dikirica sopa, igraderie kele paradiriana toyama sharhapalega. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all adoration, we say thank you, Father. We thank you because your presence continues to abide with us. We thank you because your presence has never left us. We say, be thou exalted. We say, be thou glorified. We say, thank you, Father. We thank you because you have revealed yourself to us tonight. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Can we just repeat after me? Can you just tell yourself, I am born of God.
I am born
of God. I have the life of God in me. The life of God in me is my development. The life of God in me is my development. This life is the life of Christ. This life in me cannot be defeated. Can you tell yourself, I can't be defeated? Can you tell yourself, I can't be stuck at a point? Can you tell yourself, I can't be held back? I can't be harassed? Thank you, Father, because I am blessed. Thank you, Father, because I am a blessed man. I thank you, Father, because of me, men are blessed. I thank you, Father, because of me, my work is blessed. I thank you, Father. Because of me, my ministry is blessed. I thank you, Father, because you have blessed me. I thank you, Father, because you have uplifted me. I thank you, because I can't be stagnant. I thank you, Father, because I already overcame through Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, because the victory that Christ Jesus brought to me cannot be overtaken by anything. In the name of Jesus. This is going to be your testimony. This is going to be your experience in the name of Jesus. Can you say again, I have power over death. I have power over sickness. I have power over debts of all kinds. I have power over failure. I have overcome already. I am victorious and I live in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight we want to quickly, by the grace of God, look at the pattern and see the evidence of growth in the life of a believer. The evidence of growth in the life of a believer. Praise the Lord. Now, John chapter 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus made a very important statement. John chapter 16, verse 33. Now, it says, I have told you these things. This is the Lord Jesus speaking here. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you these things, or I have said these things so that you can have peace. Now, it says, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, he said, I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. As a believer in Christ Jesus, this tonight is practically about the maturity and the growth of a believer. Tonight, basically. Hallelujah. Now, we must understand that at many points in our life, there are many seasons, and with each season come different kinds and varying degrees of challenges. And with each of these challenges, are we together now, come varying degrees of breakthroughs or stagnation. And there's this tendency, hallelujah, for the believer in Christ, there is this tendency to believe that maybe because I am following God, things are not working. I just about 3 weeks ago, about a month ago, an evangelist walked up to me and said, sir, God used to walk through me. She was telling me that through our ministry, a mad fellow has been healed in the past. Through our ministry, various things has happened. And that she has testified to God for, and that she's grateful to God for. But she said, there is this pain in my own leg. In her own leg. So there's this pain in her leg. And that pain has been there for some time now. And that pain is threatening to, is threatening her health. So she now said, I have prayed, Pastor, regarding this thing. I have laid my hands on it. I have anointed it. Yet the pain remains. I would agree now. Yet the pain remains. So she now asked me, the pastor, why is this so? Why does it seem as if I can pray for others and they are fine? Hallelujah. But for some reason, when I pray for myself, it doesn't work. These are topical issues in the life and the growth of believers. Now, how, by the grace of God, I answered that, we're going to look at it tonight. The truth is this, that there are many, many of such questions like that, and not all of them have answers. But Jesus has made it clear. He said, what I promised you is peace. You will have trouble. Hallelujah. You will have trouble. But take heart, because I already overcome the world. Now, this is the interesting part. If Jesus said, I have overcome the world, and you are in him, what does it mean? It means that you have also overcome the world. Hallelujah. Now, the process for the Lord Jesus overcoming the world did not look like he was overcoming the world when he was going through it. Let me not get ahead of myself. The process that Jesus took to overcome the world, all right, that process did not look like he was overcoming the world. In fact, it felt like the world was overcoming him. It felt like, you know, the Pharisees had won. Hallelujah. It felt like hell had won. It felt like the grave had won. Are we together now? There was nothing pleasant about the experience of the Lord Jesus. I mean, the process through which he overcame. There was nothing pleasant about it. There was nothing that looked like progress in it. Yet, at the end of it all, it was the process to the manifestation of his victory. Hallelujah. So, as believers, we must understand certain things. You know, I want us to read 1, 2, 3 scriptures. Don't forget, we're talking about the evidence of growth in the life of a believer. So when a believer comes into Christ Jesus, the first thing that you should know, hallelujah, is that you are being recreated. Basically. So the first thing you should know is that you have been recreated. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so because you have been recreated, it is now the time to find the purpose and the plan of God for your life. It is very important for you as a believer to understand the plan and the purpose of God for your life. Very important. Very important. Because if you do not understand the plan of God for your life or the purpose of God for your life, hallelujah, you would not be able to identify the journey through which you have been called to take. Because every call into Christianity, or let me say it this way, every bet into Christianity, I want to get it now, is for a reason. No one is a Christian by accident. From the day you became, in fact, even before you became a Christian, God already has a plan that he expects you to come into. Hallelujah. Now, the understanding of this plan is crucial to the experience you will have on, you will have on earth, so to the extent to which how long you will live. You know, Oraroba did say something. He said at some point in time when they were building Oraroba University and they had just finished the building, I will tell you now, they had just finished the building, they had just graduated the first set out of the school, and they realized something. They realized that the students took loans to come to school. And they were not ready to go into the mission field. And God told him to send out doctors. I will tell you now, doctors, nurses, trained healthcare people into the mission field to accompany pastors in the mission field. And he had new graduate doctors and, you know, people in the healthcare sector who were not ready to go because of their debt. I will tell you now. And so he was perplexed about it. He kept wondering about what he would do about it. So he went to God about it. He spoke to God about it. And God told him that, all right, I said you should send out missionaries. I mean, doctors along with missionaries. Now, if you do not do this within so time, I would assume that your mission has been, your assignment is completed on the earth. And I will call you home. Now, when Oral went on TV to say this, the media misquoted him and they said, Oral said God is going to kill him if he does not send out missionaries. Why am I saying this? It is important for you to understand that even how long you are going to live, the quality of your life, the meaning and the relevance that your life attracts from the day you become a believer is determined by the journey that you have been called into. So an understanding of this journey early enough, are we together now, is what, hallelujah, is what will prepare you into relevance in Christ Jesus. So perhaps I should start from here, that the proof of growth or the proof of maturity is that you know God's plan for your own life. The first proof, hallelujah, I know we want to talk about understanding the difference between the trial of faith, you know, harassment of the devil and enslavement. Now, these three, we'll talk about them extensively. Just hold on. But you must understand this first. Bible says, consider the Lord Jesus, the apostle of our confession. Are we together now? Who for the race that was set ahead of him? So there was a race that was set ahead of him. Are we together now? The Bible does say that let us run the race that is set before us with patience. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. So it's important for you to understand that there is a race ahead of you. And it is the understanding of this race that determines first and foremost the direction of your life. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 NIV, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So there is a race marked out for you. Do you know what the race entails? Hallelujah. There is something the understanding of the race that is ahead of you brings to your life, and it changes your entire outlook of life entirely. It transforms you forever. You don't remain the same. Take this way. So suppose that a man is to become a president, for example, and he does not know. Suppose that a man is to become a president. He has become his lifelong vision to become a president, and he wrote down this vision. I want to go now. And he began to work daring. You will discover that everything that he's doing, if he's serious about becoming that president, will be daring towards aspiring to become that place. Become that president. He's going to be living his life in such a way. The things that he will call results, the things that he will call progress, they are things that pertain to the political ambition that he has. Anything outside of that may be success to many people in the world, but distraction to him. So first and foremost, you must understand, what is success to you? Because your definition of success and good result can be distraction to me. I will tell you now. Now, does it mean that I do not want good things, or I should not have good things? Obviously, no. Hallelujah. It is very important that we understand these things. Very important. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1 to 5. Let's read the scriptures before we move forward. Romans chapter 5 from verse 1 to 5. And Romans chapter 8. If you are there, please, you can post them on the group platform here. Romans chapter 5 from verse 1 to 5. And Romans chapter 8 from verse 17 to 19. Now, Romans chapter 5 from verse 1 to 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Please pay attention here. The believer in Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Pay attention now. It says, through whom we have gained access through the Lord Jesus Christ that have overcome the world. The Bible says we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now it says, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. We give glory to God in the middle of our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. It says, if indeed we share in these sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present sufferings. So let nobody lie to you. There will be challenges. Of course, you're already experiencing challenges. There are going to be things that will make you want to say, no, I think I've had enough of God. There will definitely be. It is the entrance of these sufferings and challenges sometimes that brings out of the believer comparisons. And you begin to compare your life with other men of God, I mean other children of God that you know, that things are working out well for. Hallelujah. And if care is not taken, you begin to think and act as if God is no longer with you or God has abandoned you. It is not so. It is because you have not trained yourself to see progress even in your own life. I believe that a man that should be concerned, the only kind of believer that should be concerned, is a believer that cannot find any trace or evidence of growth in his life. So if you've been a believer for 10 years, 15 years, there is no trace, there is no evidence of growth, there is a problem. Now, the evidence of growth or the evidence of progress in serving God is not always a result, as beautiful as results are. Because the beauty of it is this, the results are meant for seasons. Results are designed for certain seasons. That regardless of how hard you try, you can't get the result outside of a season. Regardless of how hard you pray, you can't get the result outside of a season. There is no amount of prayer that will reduce the gestation time of yam from 9 months to 3 months. It can't happen. And you can't get a child in 1 month by impregnating 9 women. It can't happen. Some things takes time. But in the process of getting these things, you must understand whether you are suffering in vain or not. And how do you know if you are not suffering in vain? There must be an evidence of growth. Hallelujah. Now, remember this, understand this, that many of the things that we tend to call sufferings, even the Bible refers to it as sufferings, are designed to help you. I mean, they are designed to reveal through you. Are we together now? God. Look at this. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. So the sufferings work at the revelation of the glory. I get it. Get what I'm saying? I understand that it does not make sense. I can suffer being a prerequisite to the revelation of God's glory. It does not make sense. But it did not make sense when Christ was being beaten. Hallelujah. It didn't make sense when he was crowned with thorns on his head. Hallelujah. It didn't make sense. He went from being a revered man in Israel. He went from being a miracle worker. He went from being a son of God generally. He went from being loved by people. Thousands practically followed him, loved him. He went from that status to being condemned by the same people. These same people decided to trade him for a man robber. I mean, the person, I'm being honest with you, you may be conditioned to think it's only the people that hate Jesus that did that to Jesus. You'll be shocked to find out that some of the people that he personally healed could have been against him. So he went from that status of being loved by so many people, hallelujah, to a status of being rejected and condemned by everyone. Everyone. And they decided to exchange him that was doing so good to them for an armed robber. It didn't make sense that it was the process of overcoming. He went from there to the cross. He was nailed on the cross. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense that he died on the cross. It didn't make sense to any of his disciples or any of his followers that loved him. It didn't make sense that he was buried. This guy was eventually killed and buried. Hallelujah. But by the time he rose up, It was still not making sense, but by that time it was making faith. Understand this. I'm not going to use the word suffering. I'm going to say processes. Precedes revelation of the glory. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says it. You know, it caps it all. It says that not only so, we give glory to God in our sufferings. Okay. Maybe I should use the language the Bible is using. I should change it from process. We give glory to God in our sufferings. Because we know that they have one job. That is to produce perseverance. This is the NIV version. Now, the King James version says they produce patience. Are we together now? And it says patience produces experience. But the NIV says they produce perseverance. And from perseverance, character. And from character, assurance in Christ Jesus. And it says this assurance cannot shame us. So many people want to have the kind of hope that does not make it ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They want that kind of hope, but they are not ready to acknowledge the sufferings. Being a Christian, let me say this now, that being a Christian does not mean living in denial of your suffering. Being a Christian does not mean living in denial of your challenges. In fact, having faith is not being in denial of anything at all. Interestingly, even if you have faith, your faith is going to be tried. So understand this, that sufferings of all kinds, I must say this, it does not matter where they emanate from. Sufferings of all kinds. I was going to now. Bad events of all kinds. I do know that the Bible does say that you allowed it. Yes. So bad events of all kinds are conditioned and designed for you. Now, why are they designed for you? They are designed to help you grow. Naturally, Jesus has given you the key. He said, John 16:3. He says, I've told you these things so that you can have peace. In me, you will face persecution. You will have challenges. I will tell you that. You will have questions. But if you stay in me, you will overcome. Because I have overcome the world. So your victory, hallelujah, that is overcoming is not in your, is not in your strength, but is in Christ Jesus. So if Jesus has said, I have already overcome, and if you are in me, it means you have already overcome. So you must understand that every challenge that comes your way, hallelujah, every suffering that comes your way is designed to train you because you can overcome. But when you find yourself running away from challenges, when you find yourself complaining about challenges, when you find yourself complaining about situations, you will stay longer than you are intended to be. Hallelujah. You will stay longer than you are intended to be. So what do? We don't just persevere. We find out, hallelujah, if we are actually growing. Because if the essence of the experience we have, hallelujah, if the essence of the things we are going through is so that we may grow, is so that we may grow, so to say, is so that we may mature, we must check if there is real evidence of that growth. Imagine spending 20 years in school, okay, with intention to grow, and 20 years later, no knowledge gained. It would have been a waste of time and resources, a waste of life. So your longevity in the church, your longevity in the service of God, hallelujah, is not the evidence of your growth. We're going to look at evidence of growth in a few minutes now. But let's talk about this briefly. Now, we must understand that I said sufferings of all kinds are designed to lead you to the revelation of God's glory in you. So that suffering that you're asking God to take away, or that suffering that you are waiting for a miracle to solve, I will tell you now, you have to be the one to actually create the miracle. That issue you are asking God to take away from you is actually an issue that is designed to help you see, that is designed to help make you. You know, I was studying sometime and I realized that Jesus must have come to the consciousness, that Jesus came to the consciousness of who he is since the age of eight. There was a biblical evidence that Jesus was already conscious of his nature and his sonship of the Father by the age of eight. Now look at this. For someone that knew that I am the Son of the Almighty and I have the power of the Almighty and I have the ability of the Almighty at work in me from the age of eight. Imagine his helplessness at 18 and at 19 and at 20 when people die in his neighborhood. He knew he could heal them. He knew he could bring them. Just imagine, given the compassion that he has for men, imagine his helplessness at the age of 23. How is it now? When he sees someone that is oppressed by the devil, he would have loved to do something, but it was not yet time. Now, it takes maturity for any man with that kind of with that kind of possibility living in him to accept that situation. So you must become mature enough to say no to some things. Even though they are beautiful, even though they are wonderful, you must understand that not all good things come from God. Not all opportunities come from God. Hallelujah. I'm not saying refuse good things. In fact, okay, let's go ahead. We're going to talk about this later. So if sufferings of all kinds, they come in three dimensions that I've said earlier. The first kind of dimension that sufferings of all kinds appear, I will get it out, is what is called the trial of faith. Hallelujah. Is what is called the trial of faith. The trial of faith. Now, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said something that is very crucial there that I find intriguing every time I read it. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and then he says, "Every other thing shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he says, "Every other thing shall be added." When you have the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, Romans chapter 1 verse 16 does say that the righteousness of God is revealed through faith. Romans 1:17 now. The righteousness of God is revealed by faith. So, the righteousness of God, faith is a carrier or, say, a revealer of the righteousness of God. So, as a man lives by faith, I was going to now, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, the righteousness of God is a prerequisite to having all things added to you. Is it promotion you need? It can be added to you when you have the righteousness of God that is revealed through faith. So faith is an important prerequisite. Pay attention to where I'm taking you to. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 6 to 9. It says, "In all these you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." You may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Look at this. You may have had. It is a prerequisite. You may, if need be, that's how the King James puts it. If there is a need for it, you will pass through. You suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now, he says, "These have come." This is the reason they came. "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith," so that the proven genuineness of your faith, "of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise." Can somebody say, the trial of my faith will result in praise? It says, "May result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Where? Not in heaven, in you.
when Jesus Christ is revealed, not in heaven, in you. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith. I love how listen, why people put this. You are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the goal of faith is the salvation of your soul. And the salvation of your soul is very important to God. Because until your soul is saved, you can't think and talk like God. You can't walk his ways. You can't think his thoughts. And if you can't do these two, hallelujah, you can't become who God said you are going to be. It is impossible. The destination that you and your father has agreed when you were mapping out that journey together will be unreachable if your soul is not saved. The salvation of your soul. You must understand, Jesus spent about 25 years on earth studying. If I do not, let's say 22. You get what? The salvation of your soul. So, one way to recognize the trial of faith. So, we are going to certain circumstances that you are going through. It is a trial of faith. Now, the way it is easy to recognize it is because you actually have faith for that thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's very important that you understand this. There is a reason it is called the trial of faith. Without faith, there is no trial. Are we together now? The trial of faith. So, it is first an evidence that there is faith regarding that area. Though the faith might not be full or refined, but there's still faith. Though the faith might not be in great measure, but there's still faith. So for every word of God that you claim to believe, hallelujah, is going to be tested. For every word of God that you claim to believe, life will test you. Not even the devil now, life will test you. In fact, even the word of God himself will test you. So the trial of faith, I'm going to get it now, is an experience you have that is contrary to your faith to test how long you can tolerate, I'm going to get it now, and stay with what you truly believe until it changes. You know, I was sharing a testimony with Manua yesterday, and I told them that for over a year, I had this serious pain in my chest. And I'd stopped taking medicine about 2 years prior. When the pain started, I couldn't even take medicine to solve it. And I'm being honest with you, I knew if I went to the hospital to do a proper checkup, they would have told me something was wrong with my liver or with my lungs or something, because it was serious. But because I believe God's word, I chose to stay. In fact, it got to an extent the pain was totally ignored in my body. It was still there. I would come to meetings like this and be teaching seriously, and every time I raise my voice, I feel the pain. Hallelujah. It remained there. It was there for over a year, but the day it disappeared, I did not know. Trial of faith. The day it stopped appearing, I did not know. I was gonna, my mind has been so conditioned to ignore it, trusting God entirely, because I believe so much in divine health. Hallelujah. So I know that it is my faith in divine health that is being tested. So I stayed on divine health. Contend for your own faith. The Bible says, work out your own salvation. You don't just say you believe God in your mouth. For everything that you believe about God, for every word of God that you claim to believe, know this today, it is going to be tested. Circumstances will test it. Situations will test it. Satan even will test it. Now, when this is happening, it's not an announcement. It's an exam that you must pass. In fact, I've told you before that all challenges are exams that you must pass. So because the challenges that you overcome, or that the ones that you pass will determine where you are going to be promoted next. So many believers are at the low level, not because they have not not just because they have not gone through a lot of processes, because they have failed many challenges. We are teaching each other to understand that there is no challenge that is bigger than you. There is no challenge that you, because of it, go and commit suicide. Does it mean that there are some things that can happen to others that will cause them to commit suicide and they can't happen to you? No. Does it mean that there are some grief that can happen to others that will cause them to misbehave that wouldn't happen to you? No. The same thing that is happening to people in the world may still happen to you. But with you, it is different. Hallelujah. For you, it is a challenge that you must overcome. That the trial of your faith at the end may be filled with all praise, glory, and honor to God. And that your soul may be saved. Hallelujah. Now, that's the first one. Now, the second part, the second dimension that sufferings come from is an harassment from the devil. Now, Jesus has already said this, that in the world you shall be persecuted. But take heart, I already overcome. The truth is this, that when the devil senses ignorance in the life of a believer, or when the devil senses indiscipline in the life of a believer, it tends to harass the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So an harassment from the devil is practically what a believer himself allows. So the day you find out that, so I am the one that have allowed this thing, you can stop that harassment instantly. But the good thing is this, that when you learn this, hallelujah, you are able to deal with all kinds of situations like that forever, for life. There are some stumbling blocks that you have, that has happened to you. There are some issues that you have faced, that they are pure harassment from the devil. And they need your resilience. Are we together now? And these situations need your resilience and your understanding of God's word to pass over them. Otherwise, they can really stop you from happening. Now, I was sharing a testimony in church today. And I told my people, I told them in church today, that there was a time we went to do this program last year. With the water worship experience we're having this year, we went to do it last year. We chose the open field at Jangu to do the program. And when we got there, we did all the process we were supposed to do to get the approval. But we couldn't get the approval on time. All right. And so a very prominent person that is capable of stopping it from happening. In fact, they did it to other people. They stopped it. They stopped them from doing it. So when they got to our turn, it was no big deal that the man came to us and said, we can't do it there. I tried to plead with him. He said, no, he wouldn't listen to me. He sent me away. And I told the people that were there that continue to put the stage there. Continue to arrange the stages, all right. And the man looked at me and said, you are arguing with me. Whether you are the owner of the school today, we are going to find out. I want to know who gave you the permission. And in truth, we have not received any permission from anybody. The permission we have received so far is partial and verbal, not even documented. I was together now. But the moment he turned back, I was reminded that it can't be, there is no natural man that is against the work of God. He has to take something spiritual. So I said, you spirit, you foul spirit, causing this man to misbehave, in the name of Jesus, I send you out. You'll be shocked that 30 minutes to 45 minutes later, this same man was helping us beg the dean of the student affairs of that school to allow us to use that field. But guess what? From that day forward, when people began to stand against God's work, people that are actually capable of not making things work, and they stand and say, sir, you can't do this. Sir, you can't, and I'm very sure this God has said, go ahead and do it. You know what I do? I go to a corner and bind that spirit. Trust me, I come back, it is settled. I have learned that one thing from where? Experience. I am telling you that there are some harassment that they are intended to teach you. Though the devil might look like, he might think that he is dealing with you at the moment. Are we together now? But it's actually teaching you how to deal with him in the future. preparing you to deal with him better. You know, that singular experience, I'm being honest with you, it has not just worked for me countless of times. I have taught many people how to handle things like that. To understand this primarily, that if people don't just misbehave, there is a spirit at work in them. Hallelujah. Harassment. So it is usually from the devil himself trying to stop you from going forward. Hallelujah. That's an harassment. The first issue, the first way we said sufferings can come is through the trial of faith. The second one is harassment from the devil. Usually, the harassment from the devil does not deal with what God has said. No, it takes your attention away from what God has said. So devil usually harasses men, I would say that, so that they can react. So the harassment of the devil is focused on your reaction. Is somebody with me? When Satan is trying to harass you, he tries to get your attention away from God's word. Hallelujah. That's the difference between a child of faith and harassment. Now, the child of faith actually needs faith for you to be a child of faith. You need faith in that area. It is your faith that is being challenged. But an harassment from the devil, I will tell you now, comes directly from the devil to stop you from going forward. Because he senses ignorance, I will tell you now, or he senses indiscipline of one kind or the other, I will tell you now. And so he's counting on these things so that you react to the situation and not remember God's word. That's the difference. Now, the third one is an enslavement from darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The third dimension that sufferings come from is enslavement from darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Let's look at what the Bible says. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start from verse let's start from verse 3-7. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3-7. Now look at this. NIV says, "For though we live in the world," hallelujah, pay attention now. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage a war as the world does." So it means that we are waging a war, whether we like it or not. The believer must understand this, that you are waging a war every day, whether you like it or not. He says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." He says, "We demolish argument." Look at this. The war we are waging is against the world, Abby, and it's not as the world is fighting. He says, "The weapons we fight with, they are powerful, and they're powerful enough to demolish strongholds." So it means that what we really need to battle in our minds about is strongholds. What we really need to bring down is strongholds. What we really need to defeat to become victorious in life is strongholds. Now, Jesus has defeated the actual enemies themselves. He has defeated the actual principalities and powers. What you need to defeat are strongholds. Hallelujah. Jesus actually, for Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, that Jesus actually fought and he defeated the devil and his minions. Hallelujah. And so because he has done this, you do no longer need to fight the devil. Hear this. What you need to fight or what you need to bring down are strongholds. The Bible now says, talks about how we bring down the strongholds. It says, "We demolish argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ." Hallelujah. Now understand this, brethren, that an enslavement from darkness requires a mindset from you, first and foremost. Let me put it this way. An enslavement from darkness requires a stronghold. So the enslavement of darkness now is a manifestation of the stronghold that exists in the life of a believer. So there are many people that are enslaved to one addiction or another. Hallelujah. It does not matter whether they are believers or not. There are people that are enslaved to all kinds of issues, immorality, gambling addictions, you name them. They can't seem to break free out of these things. It is because of an existing stronghold. Now, this is why Jesus said in John 6:33, he says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So what does the truth do? What the truth does is to help you break down the strongholds, because we can only demolish the arguments with the truth. In fact, it is the truth that the Bible does say that they are powerful through God to the bringing down of strongholds. So you can't win, hallelujah, you can't break free from an enslavement from the devil through prayers. I mean, you can pray. The situation may stop for a while, but you continue. Hallelujah. The only remedy to an enslavement from darkness is to encounter the truth. So, there can be sicknesses, can be enslavement from darkness. Hallelujah. Because of the exit, you just have to be powered by a stronghold. Now, a man cannot know which strongholds exist in his life until he sits down and begins to examine which of God's word he truly believes. The truth is this, that as you are listening to me this evening, there are still certain strongholds in your life. And until these things are broken down, there are certain areas of your life where there can be transformations. I was going to now. Very important that we understand these things. Strongholds. So the enslavement of darkness are empowered by strongholds. So what then is a stronghold? Let me say this briefly. That a stronghold is a mindset, not just a knowledge base, a mindset, a belief system that is now, empowered by demons. When I say empowered by demons now, naturally men need to understand this, that the thoughts of your heart have signals in the spiritual realm. Okay, Ephesians 3:20. The Bible does say that God is able to do beyond all that we are able to pray and think. So it means that our thinking is as important as our praying. Our thinking, hallelujah, have their own frequency that is as strong as the words that comes out of your mouth. So thoughts are not just things. They are powerful things that tend to attract. Hallelujah. In fact, thoughts are so powerful that they tend to attract the words that come out of your mouth, and they tend to attract the result that you see. Yes. Well, I was hoping we'll be able to finish this in one Sunday, but God helping us. Thoughts are powerful. Understand this. Hallelujah. Now, what we're saying is this, that the thoughts of your heart, when they are negative to God's word, you tend to attract resources and forces in every realm that you empower these thoughts. Now, when this happens, they become what is called strongholds. For example, so a power can tell you that I am the power that be. A spirit can tell you that he is the principality of your father's house. Your father. I mean, your natural father. And it's the reason why you are experiencing certain things in life. And the truth is that it's not lying. Hallelujah. The truth is that that principality is not lying. He is actually in charge of your earthly father's house. The only problem there is that you have not yet trained yourself. I mean, you do not believe in your heart indeed that your father is in heaven, and that man at home that you bear his name is not your father. And until this thing really changes in your mind, that man you bear at home is just your earthly father and cannot, there is no relationship between you and him, so to say, in the flesh, since the day you received the Lord Jesus. Until this understanding comes into you, are we together now? That principality will remain of effect. But until the day the understanding comes into you, hallelujah, you'll be able to stand on your 2 feet and say, no, I have no relationship whatsoever with this family. I am born of God and a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ. I'm no longer in this Father. What I was saying, that an enslavement from darkness requires a mindset on the part of the believer. Now, understand this, that the answer, see, the three of them, whether it is a trial of faith, whether it is an harassment from the devil, whether it is an enslavement from the darkness, all three work together for you. The Bible does say that we know that all things work together for God, for them, for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for them. So the three of them are designed to work together for you for good. In fact, let me say it in another way. They are designed to work together for you for your growth. So they are not designed to bring you down. They're not designed to kill you. They're not designed to, you know, everything negative that happens to you because of these kinds of sufferings are as a result of the level of understanding and the growth that you possess. Because they are designed first and foremost to help you grow. They are designed first and foremost to refine you. Are we together now, brethren? So we must now understand that growth is first a function of understanding. Growth in Christ now is first a function of understanding that comes from the knowledge of God's will. Hallelujah. Very important. Now, when it comes to these three things, trial of faith, harassment from the devil, and enslavement from darkness. Hallelujah. It is very important for you to understand how to deal with each of them. But there is a master key. Hallelujah. There is a master key you can use in each of the situations. And this master key requires understanding. What is this master key? Relying on the help of the Holy Spirit. Relying on the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, there's a reason the language comforter was used. He said, I will go to my Father. John chapter 14, verse 16. And John chapter 16, rather. He said, I will go to my Father. I will pray the Father. And he shall send another comforter to you. He says, you know him because he already dwelt with you. But he says, he shall be in you. Now the Bible uses the word, the Amplified Version breaks down the word comforter into about three or four more words. Helper, strengthener. You have the helper in you. You have the greater one in you. So asking for the help of the helper. Hallelujah, can help you through these three situations. So asking for the help of the Holy Ghost can grant you staying power, or say sustaining power in your trial of faith, and just tell you, hold on. So even when God is silent in your trial of, hallelujah. So even when God is silent during your trial of faith, you know within you, there is this assurance within you. Are we together now? There is this assurance in you. There's this assurance in you, rather. And there's this strength that comes from nowhere. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. So even though you are praying to God in the middle of that challenge, and it seems like God is not answering, hallelujah, everybody will get to that corner where you are praying to God and it does not seem as if he's answering. In fact, it does not even seem as if he heard you. But you talk to him about other things, he can reply. But when it comes to that issue, in fact, he doesn't say anything. Hallelujah. A trial of faith. Understand this. God is saying, I am helping you grow. You need to mature. But you can ask for the help of the Holy Spirit even in that time. I don't understand what is going on. I don't know what to do. But I'm asking for your help. Help me, Holy Spirit. If all you can say is, help me, Holy Spirit, in the middle of that challenge. I was going to know. He's going to help you. So depending on what you are facing, hallelujah. So your help might be strength. Eh? Your help might be strength and peace in that time to survive the trial. Are we together now? Your help may be an understanding, a reproof to help you deal with the harassment. Because usually when you are being harassed by the devil, what you need is a reproof. So the reproof can come in many dimensions. It can come by the Holy Spirit speaking to you directly. It can come through ministrations like this. It can come through any dimensions. But know that it's the Holy Spirit that is communicating to you to help you deal with the harassment. If it is an enslavement from darkness, hallelujah. If it is an enslavement from darkness, you can still ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. And it can help you to open the eyes of your understanding. You know, primarily the problem was that you have a belief system that is contrary to God's word. So it can open the eyes of your understanding, or it can turn your attention to God's word that will open your eyes to see what you have been missing. So there is a master's key in this three. One of the reasons you have received the Holy Spirit is to help us through situations like this. Make no mistake, we will forever need the Holy Spirit as long as we remain on the earth. He's our helper, sent to help us on this journey. He's your helper, sent to help you on this journey. Engage him. You know, many times we fail to recognize the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we fail to recognize what the Holy Spirit can do through us. What's going on now? Because we feel that we already know what is wrong with us. We are too knowledgeable, and now we are looking at that knowledge. It is knowledge. So we are too sensually knowledgeable to receive what God is about to give, to even receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Tell somebody beside you, grow. You can receive the help of the Holy Spirit. So pending the time that these issues are with you now, pending the time that you can judge which of this is really happening to you. Hallelujah. Even if you can't judge, all you need is to say, help me. No one has ever asked God for help and he refused. No one. And it's not going to start from you. I said it's not going to start from you. You are a sinner. Does not matter whether you are a born-again believer. Does not matter whatever challenge you are going through. You can ask for help now. Oh, just open your mouth and say, hallelujah. Very important. Now, I'm saying this because the nations of the world will end up listening to this audio, if not today, one day. So you can, I'm telling you, you can ask for help. Don't be too shy. Ask for help. Hallelujah. So regardless of whichever dimension it is, whether it's a trial of faith tonight, whether it is an harassment or it is an enslavement, I was going to now, you can open your mouth tonight and say, Holy Spirit, regarding this issue, help me. What do I need to do? What do I have to do? Help me. What am I missing? What can't I see? Help me. You see, when you begin to ask questions like this, it means that you are looking for way out. I was going to now, you are looking to solve the issue and not just expecting a miracle. As beautiful as miracle is, hallelujah, as beautiful as miracle is, it is better to manufacture it. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus said something, that when you find the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he says every other thing shall be added. Every other thing shall be added. Now, Ephesians 3:20 says that there is a power that worketh in you. It is this power that will determine the extent to which God can help you. So many people leave the power that is at work in them and begin to look for, you know, help in different places. I am pointing your attention. I mean, the Holy Spirit is pointing your attention to the power that is at work in you tonight. Ask for help. I begin to ask for help now.